today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
All right, Patrick, I think we have something big coming up. Something big coming up in just, I don't know, a couple weeks at this point. Two, three, four, I don't know, whenever this episode airs. But we got a big event coming up down there in, or over there or up there, depending on where you live, in the Chicago area. It's going to be our first time taking Suburbs Fest on the road. Last year we did one in the Washington, D.C. area where we reside, but now... we're going on the road, and what we're going to do here... By the way, the show you're listening to is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
Yeah. What we're going to do there, August 4, 5, and 6, is we're going to have like 3 nights of music and meetups and drinking and general frivolity, I think. And then and the culmination of the whole thing is going to be August 6th, Saturday, August 6th, at a place called The Hidden Cove. Chicago, we're going to have 3 live bands playing, and that leads me to this episode today, which is one of those bands. Demolition Means Progress is a couple of their members are with us today here on the show, so welcome, guys.
Howdy.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So the voice you heard there were BJ Bonin. Hey, BJ.
Howdy.
And Grant Martin.
Hi, everybody.
There we go. All right, and hey. you guys are up in Minnesota, eh?
Yeah, that's right, Dender.
Yeah. So for you, it's coming down to Chicago. For us, it's coming over to Chicago, and then that's where the minds will meet.
That's right.
And you guys have been on the podcast before. We did a first listen thing with your latest EP, and then BJ's been a member of the community for some time, and participated in various things with the show, including coming to last year's Suburbs Fest in D.C. Out here. So it just seemed like a natural to have his band play in Chicago. I think it's going to be wonderful.
Totally makes sense. Yeah. And I'd love to hear how excited you guys are about doing this. And one thing I was wondering, I mean, I know you guys do a lot of work in the studio, but have you played outside of the Minneapolis area much? Have you guys ever gone on a big tour or anything like that?
Not a big tour with this band. Different lineup we did play around back 20 years ago.
Wow.
So, but that's Mike, who's not here, but it's his drums. he's been the drummer for this band since it basically started. So half of us have been that. So we get to play like CBGBs back in the day. July 6th of 2002.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's when it was.
I was still in grade school at the time. So. That's a joke, actually.
I had to get a permission slip signed to be able to perform.
That's right, yeah. To go on tour, yeah.
Yes.
But I think that's why we're super excited about this show is, you know, with careers and families. It's tough to put a tour together. We're not in our 20s anymore.
Right.
In our early 30s. Again, that's a lie. We're not in our early 30s.
But
it's hard to get out and do shows, string those together, and convince spouses and families and bosses.
Right.
So this is a great opportunity to, you know, get in front of some folks and go to Chicago, which we love Chicago. And I'm inviting friends who are in the area. So we're super excited about it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're really pumped.
Yep.
I think it's going to be fantastic. So for people who aren't familiar... with Demolition Means Progress. So what would be a good first song for someone to listen to?
It's like trying to pick your favorite child, right? Well. Grant, what do you think?
Oh, I can pick my favorite child easily. I'm just kidding. I think Radio's a really good entry song. I mean, that's the song I think I first heard before I was in the band that you were kind of working on. That was one of your songs that you were working on with another band.
Yep.
And you were like, okay, hey, listen to this show that I played, and I remember that song coming up and being like, that's a really good song.
Waste my time with presentations and formulations. It's that same old dog and pony show biting at my heels. It's a sort of crime to keep my eyelids propped up with toothpicks as time goes by so slowly now.
played that song, and I was like, that song, there's a lot to do with that song, and it's a good song. So that was my first entry. I think that's a good one to kind of listen to.
Okay.
You thought, okay. BJ?
There's actually a fair amount out there right now. It depends on what you like. If you're more into the hardcore thing, then you fine tune me out. Mm-hmm. If you're more into country, then pick up Last Car. How's that? Does that cover the gamut? You're into more of a jammy type of thing than horticulture? I don't know. We have our niche, but we try to move around within it as much as possible and don't try to limit ourselves to a sound.
Yeah. Well, but since you said that, how do you define that niche?
Through a lot of failed attempts at music, I guess. That's how I would say it. I was always a side person in other people's bands until this thing started. So I was like the bass player or a guitar player, usually a bass player. But I wrote songs, and these songs weren't anything like what I listened to. And what I wanted to do was come off, you know, like Husker Du or Bob Mould or something like that. Okay. And that just wasn't happening. And I found myself finally accepting something that, you know, if I realize that my baseline for songwriting is more along the lines of a Camper Van Beethoven or an REM or a Decemberists or the Church or the Smithereens or something like that, than Husker Du and the Replacements, then once I finally came to accept that, the songs came out relatively quickly. I'm not a massive writer that can drink from the fire hose or whatever, but they do show up.
I think if you were to characterize our band and what makes us different, it is that we are, I would say we're an indie rock band that has 12-string guitar as one of the kind of themes, and multiple vocal and vocalists as nice. Themes. And so, you know, if you like that kind of sound that's sits somewhere between sort of roots and more distorted indie, that's where we sit. And we like to at least try to sing. We have a lot of singing in our songs and vocalists and vocal voices.
Nice.
And now violin. So
yeah. Speaking of Camper Van Beethoven.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to ask.
Or the go-betweens.
There you go. Even better, right? Yeah. Mid-period go-betweens with that amazing violin and fiddle work. Yeah. I was going to ask, what was the band going to look like when you get there to Chicago? It's not going to be a trio. It's going to be more expansive. You're going to have keyboards and violin or background vocals, or what are you going to have?
We got Christy Hattershitty. How the hell do you pronounce her name? Christy H on violin. It's not a conventional German spelling, so it's not like I can pronounce it.
You don't use people's last names who you just hang out with. It's weird.
That's right.
We're playing all these shows together.
Yeah. You have a last name?
How do you pronounce your last name? Well, we've been friends and playing together for a year now.
More than a year. It's like a year and a half.
Yeah.
She's brought additional songwriting. She's brought additional vocals, a lot of ideas.
Cool.
She's got the idea fire hose going.
Yeah. And so we don't have a keyboardist anymore. It's a four-piece with a person who plays violin and adds a lot of vocal.
Neat. That's cool.
But she's nailed the keyboard parts on the violin, which is
really nice. Oh, that's cool. Yes. Yeah. Neat way to reproduce it.
I like
absolutely.
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. Tell us each a little bit about your individual music backgrounds. Like, what did you listen to as, like, kids or growing up, or, you know, where did that spark come from to actually then, you know, create music yourself? All right, BJ, we'll start.
Come from a musical family, but they were mostly jazz. So that was, we just had this conversation at band practice last night as to whether or not your appreciation of jazz starts when you're young or as you get older. And I don't think there's any rule about that. But for me, that wasn't my thing necessarily when I was younger, but I did get a latch on as a, you know, a kid in the 70s to prog rock really quickly. And so I was absorbing Yes and Genesis and what's their names with the flute?
Jethro Tull.
Jethro Tull.
Yep.
And managed to get an actual copy of Thick as a Brick.
Wow.
I don't have it anymore. I had to give it back with the newspaper. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Amazing. Still, in my opinion, the best album cover or sleeve ever. I don't know if you could ever beat that.
Yep.
But then from there, moved on and discovered punk rock in the 80s, listening to, you know, the Left of the Dial, local public radio stations that would bring it on. And I got turned on to Husker Du 1983-ish.
Wow.
Okay.
When I was, 14 or something like that.
That's 13, amazing.
14. Yeah, that changed my life. It was way better than anything else I was listening to. So it hit me hard in a good way. So I really liked that. But then finding that music back then was really difficult. So I'd have to wait for those radio shows. I didn't know where record stores were. So, I couldn't drive anyway. And, bringing an LP back on your bike is always risky.
That's so,
So that's where I came from. Once you get into that lane of, punk rock and the college rock that was at the time, it just kind of all flowed together.
Yep.
But I was still able to draw the musical background and the prog rock and even funk from, again, my very musical side of the family. You've had Ricky P on, Ricky Peterson, friend of the pod,
yes,
a couple of times. That's my cousin. That was enough to be able to pull out a bass and play covers to get myself through college, playing cover bands and be the sub bass player for a wedding band where you're sitting there with a horn section playing Tower Power and Earth, Wind & Fire stuff.
Nice.
So, which is a blast. Really, really fun to play.
Yeah.
And then that's how I got my book money for college. But
wow.
Anyway, and that just never died off. So here we are today. Just keep finding more new music.
Nice. Okay.
And Grant, your turn.
Yeah. I didn't really listen to a lot of classic rock. So when people are like, pull out classic rock references, I kind of missed that and then had to kind of discover that later in life. I kind of came to music from punk rock and indie rock, and I lived in a college town. So when you live in a college town, your punk rock friends don't just listen to punk rock. And so hanging out with your punk rock friends and they're playing the Smiths and stuff like that. And so you get a wide variety. But I remember, I think, being most inspired when I went to my first show was at this hole in the wall little room. It wasn't even a bar. It was a room where the punk rock bands just set up the stage and they collect $4 from everybody. And then the music would start. And I just remember being like, this is great. I can do this. This is fun. There's energy. Punk rock music is just about, playing music and everybody can do it. And then once you get to that point where you're like, everybody can do it, you kind of learn more and more and it just becomes something you can do with friends. So that's what inspired me. And I just love listening to music and I love seeing different music. At this point in my life, I feel like I am constantly trying to find new stuff because I feel like you can fall into this pattern of, I'm just going to listen to the stuff I listened to in the 90s.
That's right. Yep.
So I'm really trying to find ways to get exposed to new stuff. For a while, I had this rule, if someone invites you out to see live music, you got to go. You can't shirk it off or you'll never see new stuff. That kind of faded a little bit with the pandemic because then all of a sudden there was a real reason to not go.
Yeah, but, that's right.
But I've been trying to get back into that. And when people invite you out, you got to do that because you see new stuff and live music has, and I don't know about you guys, but that first thing when that period when music opened up and everybody was playing live, the shows were so great because the bands were so excited to be playing live again. And that was great. It was just kind of a revitalization of music, even with me and live music. So love that. And, that kind of period over the last few months has been really exciting. Now I'm starting to feel like it's maybe we're coming down a little bit just to regular shows again, which is too bad.
To plug the pod here, I highly recommend for an example of what Grant just talked about, listening to the Drive-By Truckers interview. Mike Cooley goes off.
He does.
So anyway, that kind of energy is what is the norm. It's still the norm. So
I think it's funny because I've been to a couple shows where I felt like the band just kept going. They wanted to play more and more songs. And you kind of looked around and people were like, are we going to stick around? Because it's starting to get late.
Yeah, are they going to pull the plug on these guys? Yeah.
They're waving us out.
Yeah. So, this has been a really a fun period of, live music.
Was there a record for you similar to BJ with Jethro Tull that sort of like, was a cornerstone that you remember hearing early on in your life that kind of pulled you even deeper in?
Oh, I mean, in terms of buying music and listening to music, the Police's Synchronicity record is.
Really oh, really? Okay.
The first record I bought, I had to convince my dad that I I should buy music instead of just listening to what was on the radio.
Right.
And so that was the first thing I bought. And it's, you know, that tape is probably in pieces now because I listen to it so much.
So interesting. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I could just hear the dad. Why would you pay money for this? It's free right over here.
On the radio.
Right. That's right.
But just that one song, Dad, the one they keep playing over and over, not all the rest of them.
Exactly.
There's 11 more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember those days. What are you doing wasting your money on records? Why don't you, you know, do... Anyway.
That's real estate.
That's right.
Grant, you should name some of the band for our host's entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Records that influence
no,
me
no. Bands. You should name some of the band names that you've been in.
Oh, the bands you've been in. That'd
because be awesome. They're great.
Would love that. Wasn't
the names are great.
Not... Well, so my first band was a band called the Polka Chickens. And we were a three-piece guitar, three singers, and we were like a folk. We wrote songs about our teachers in high school and even convinced one of them to let us play in front of his class. We were fearless. I mean, I just remember like the three of us just being dummies and sitting in front of this class playing, singing songs about, God, I mean, going on dates with your pet cat and stuff. I don't know. So that was the first. Then I was in a band called Jaunt, which was a combination of all our names. And then in college, I was in a band called Dicks into Mud and Shit Beard.
That's nice.
And the Groovy Hate Fuckers. And then I was in Racine.
That one's tame.
And the Fourth Grade Nothings, which I think was a pretty good
name. That's a pretty great name. Yeah, it really is.
Oh, and then Willis Smoked a Guy.
Willis Smoked a Guy.
A band called Willis Smoked a Guy.
Was that the one with the song about someone ate my lunch or whatever?
No, the Fat Kid Ate My Lunch was actually a Shit Beard song.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And that, you can see that on YouTube.
Is that right? Okay.
Oh, yeah. At, what is it, Ryan's?
Ryan's, yeah. 1990.
The highlight isn't the band. Grant's playing drums. You don't see him, but you hear him taunting the lead vocal.
Yeah, our lead vocalist was the real draw of the band. The band was not musical at all. And our lead vocalist would just get up on stage and just go crazy and pour beer on himself and scream at the audience. And we would just write songs to just showcase his craziness. And at one point he met a woman and he just kind of settled down and got a little bit more easygoing. And so we were playing a show and I felt like I needed to get him riled up to get back to his normal form. And after the show, he was like, I felt like all my antics, it really takes away from the music of the band. I just kind of wanted to step back and let the people hear the music. And me and the bass player were like, that's it. We're done. There's nothing there.
Yeah. A death knell for the group. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So how did you guys get together?
He moved in next door.
Really?
Is that right?
It was that simple.
Yeah. BJ saw me bringing guitar cases in.
Oh, there you go.
And he said, "Yeah, I'm in a band. You should listen." And so I went to YouTube, and that was the band. And then I think it was like maybe a month later, you're like, "I'm not in a band anymore. We should get together."
Oh, wow, that's cool.
So you grabbed Mike from the other band that you had played with forever, and so we just worked on some stuff and you said, you know, what are you interested in? Do you play guitar? And I was like, yeah, I play guitar, but I'd be interested in trying bass. And so I started playing bass with this band.
Nice.
Interesting. Yeah.
So that's a good story because, you know, just because you're both guys of, you know, in the neighborhood and roughly the same stage in life or what have you, doesn't necessarily mean you have the same music interests. So that worked out really well.
It did.
Yeah, I think we have pretty good overlapping musical interests and have been able to work together and bringing those interests together to add more to your songwriting.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Mike does the same thing. Christy does the same thing. You bring a song that's pretty much 90% done. And then...
Or less.
And then we all bring kind of our own thoughts and let's try this and let's try this and this sounds like this and I like that because it sounds like this. Let's try to sound like that. Let's not rip it off. So there's I think that like you said, it's nice to have people come together with different ideas and different backgrounds, different likes and dislikes to help kind of form music and be open to that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Grant for lyrics is my editor.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
So it's like the best one being Cube, you know, that I literally wrote in a cube where I was a middle cube. Yes, there is such thing as a middle cube. Where I was in the middle cube and I wrote this whole song while the people were standing in my cube. You know, the chorus is, it's none of my damn business, but you're standing in my cube, right? So I had all these lyrics written out, and Grant's like, oh, no, you can't do that. You might as well just call the people out by name, right?
Oh, right. I'm like, right. Got it.
I see where you're coming from. It's like, well, okay, I guess I'm going to have to start over. And he's like, no, what did you say? Add some sex to it. And so I took out a red pen and I crossed out the parts that were a little too identifiable and just added some suggestive lyrics. Mildly suggestive lyrics.
Yeah.
And that's the song.
Well, I was thinking you
wanted song.
A little bit of a subtext of not only were you pissed off about being at work and having to deal with this annoying coworker, you were kind of attracted to this person and you kind of resented. So there's a little bit of that tone in there.
And that's exactly what the song is. Anyway, so that's the best example.
There you go.
Let's record it.
Overheard your conversation on the phone. Though you smell delicious, I could never take you home. Cannot take anymore.
Cannot take no more.
But I can't close the door. Drive me crazy. I'm losing my mind. I can't think more than half of the time. So keep on talking. There's nothing I can.
And that was the first part of our conversation with the guys in Demolition Meets Progress. Really fun stuff. Always enjoy talking to those guys. And it's going to be real exciting to see them play in Chicago on Saturday night. The big conclusion of Suburbs Fest Midwest. You don't have your tickets? You don't need any. All you have to do is show up and have fun with us. Although I do think you have to buy a ticket to Saturday night, but it won't be much. You'll be repaid more than your entry fee many, many times over with incredible music and great company and a lot of fun. So please try to make it out if you can. Tomorrow we've got more conversation with Demolition Means Progress, BJ and the guys. I really look forward to that. Whenever we jump on with them, we just keep rolling. So we decided to break this up into two episodes for you. If you have anything to say to us about Demolition Means Progress, you got a story, an anecdote, you want them to request to play in your town, please get in touch. You can send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com, and we'll get the message to them. Or you can find us anywhere on the social medias, @SuburbsPod. All right, on behalf of my co-host Jim Lenihan and the rest of the guys in Demolition Means Progress, I'm Patrick Foster. Set your alarms for part two of our conversation with Demolition Means Progress tomorrow on Suburbs Pod. We'll talk to you then. We'll be right back.